We're here in Albany, California, just a short drive from San Francisco. We're out in the fields today, examining a set of bee boxes. More specifically, we're searching for the queens to see if they and their hives are healthy and happy. Here at ARS's Invasive Species and Pollinator Health Unit, researchers are looking at long-term factors affecting bee health and colony survival. They want to better understand how factors such as nutrition, pesticides, extreme weather, and natural events impact colony performance and sustainability over multiple seasons.
We look at honeybee health starting from about 1947, when there were about 6 million colonies. There has been a significant drop in the colony populations across the U.S., and we are trying to understand the causes of this colony loss and also see how we can help improve the colony success so that we can meet the pollination needs of growers.
That's Dr. Arathi Seshadri, who at the time of this recording was the research entomologist at the Pollinator Health Unit here in Davis. Seshadri has since become the research leader in the Pollinator Health and Southern Crops Ecosystem Research Unit in Stoneville, Mississippi. We're back at the lab in Davis, looking at data she's been collecting on her honeybees. Seshadri led the establishment of California's Long-Term Honeybee Research Monitoring Network. It should be no surprise that one of her primary focuses while in California was how bees were responding to climate change.
When you see a lot of rapid changes or extreme weather conditions, the demand on these bees is really, really high because they are now taking resources away from finding food and feeding larvae and raising the brood to cooling the hive or warming the hive and kind of maintaining the hive at that correct temperature. For example, if you don't have foragers going out and bringing back food into the hive, the larvae are going to starve, and then the next generation of worker brood is not going to be produced, and that is going to lead to the colony declining gradually. So a very small deviation from the normal can actually impact the colony very, very heavily.
Colony collapse, or steep reductions in bee colonies, typically doesn't happen overnight. A big part of the monitoring network is closely observing beehives often to capture any points of irregularity in performance.
Monitoring them regularly, keeping track of whether you have the given number of bees in the colony, actually helps us understand whether the colony is doing well or has it started declining. And the earlier you catch the decline, the better is the chance that you will be able to recover the colony and help it get back on a good trajectory.
Seshadri continues to work closely with beekeepers and farmers to share monitoring data that they've collected. She's also developing guidelines and management practices for not only observing bees, but helping them stay healthy. For example, her team is studying whether beekeepers can determine the health of a hive simply by tracking the approximate number of bees.
One of the measures is called frames of bees. How many actual frames of live bees are there in the colony? That's a good measure of colony strength. What we hope our research will show is what is a good number for frame of bees so that we can tell the beekeepers, hey, when you're monitoring your hives, this is where your range should be. And if it goes below the range, then you're looking at the hive declining. And maybe you got to feed them, you got to take care of them, see whether there are diseases. So the goal is to kind of come up with these management guidelines for beekeepers to look at and follow.
Getting back to climate change, researchers are already seeing how hotter days and increased drought conditions are putting additional stress on honeybees, with some migrating elsewhere in search of food, water, and shelter. What Seshadri wants to know is, how will this affect them long term?
One of the big points of this long-term network is incorporating the climate data and looking at how climate is changing. We have very little time to even respond to what might be happening because things are happening right now. One of the big things that's going to come out of this are predictive models as when temperatures go way higher than what we thought it would go and how do colonies respond. So right now, being so warm in California, we are going to get some really good data on how the hives perform.
Another factor being monitored is wildfires. The past few years, California has endured some of the most severe and widespread wildfires on record. Back in 2020, poor air quality from wildfires led to widespread colony losses in California. Beekeepers are concerned that severe wildfires in the future will cause more damage to their hives.
When you have wildfires, the smoke from the wildfires really brings down the air quality. That air quality also impacts honeybees, and honeybees are actually very...
In 2023, ARS released a report finding that poor air quality was a serious environmental stressor impacting honeybees. Specifically, the report concluded that air pollutants masked the floral odor receptors of honeybee antennae, which limited foraging success and colony nutrition. The report also found that poor air quality could be compounded by the presence of disease and correlated to lowered immune responses. Foraging is another area of concern for farmers and beekeepers. When bees forage, they not only pollinate our plants, they also collect food for themselves, the queen, the caretakers in the hive, and the brood, or babies. Seseorgery has already observed that, long-term, bees will stay in areas where there's consistent, plentiful food. This is key for beekeepers and growers who are looking to keep pollinators on their farms long-term.
Bees are very good learners. They have very good memory. So once they find a good, rewarding flower and they like it, they remember it and they come back to it.
Over the next 5 to 10 years, the long-term honeybee network aims to connect with all the apiaries and growing regions of California. This includes farmers, almond growers. California is the world leader in growing almonds, by the way. And of course, beekeepers, who provide critical pollinator services in almond orchards, sunflower fields, and other pollinator-dependent crop fields.
We need the almond growers and the fruit and vegetable growers to understand what the beekeepers are facing and work together to maintain both the systems, the food production system and the pollination system that the bees are providing.
Longer term, the research network could expand outside of California. Similar to how USDA has created climate hubs across the United States to help farmers and ranchers deal with changing climate, Seseorgery envisioned a similar national network for bee data collection and guidance, given the importance of bees for U.S. agriculture and how climate change is affecting almost all regions of the U.S. This will enable bee labs from New York to California to share apiary metrics and use that data to enhance their research. This will also help them evaluate how environmental factors are impacting production of regional crops, nutrient availability for honeybees, and the effects of pesticides on bee reproduction and performance.
Honeybees are good model systems to understand what's going on with all pollinators. The big picture is this is a part of the ecosystem that's essential. The goal is that we're going to help sustain that ecosystem service that could otherwise get lost or could become so weak that we will not have a natural habitat and we will not have good enough fruits and vegetables for human diet. The long term here in California is going to give an indication of what is it that we need to focus on and hopefully work with these other labs to feed to the needs of California.
Stay tuned for our new episode next week, where we discuss the question that's on a lot of our minds. Can bees adapt to climate change?